Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. What up?
What up, podcast?
Throttle up.
What was that, baby?
Throttle up. I don't
throttle
know.
Throttle up. I don't know. Turn this mug to 11.
11. 11. This is July 5th we're recording. This is episode number 37. That just feels weird, right? 37?
37.
Is it 37 or 38?
No, 36 was last one.
Yeah,
37,
dude.
37, okay.
Dude.
If
37.
You pay attention, if you actually looked at the Evernote notebook that I set up every freaking week that you guys never look at,
you would see that
it was episode 37.
Are you like an angel investor in Evernote? Like, you really want this app to like make money?
He totally is.
Feels dysfunctional.
Okay.
And the title of the notebook was episode 37.
Could have been wrong.
The link that I send to you every
I look at it. I don't know how to post in the Evernote app because I don't care.
It's episode 37.
I don't see any 37 in here. I see 36. I'm looking at it now.
There's
a 37.
All right. It is.
Ooh,
there it is.
Yeah, see?
Oh, there it is.
Oh, maybe we'll look at it. Occasionally.
Wow. I do look at it.
Okay, so
that's about how much information I actually need from
we're
you.
We're the Schmaltz brothers. This is how we talk to each other. Yeah, we're geeks and we talk about geeky stuff. This is what we do in this podcast. Yeah. Welcome.
Independence Day weekend hype.
Well,
okay.
It is our It was our Independence Day. AMC is it AMC that was running the Independence Day movie in marathon back to back the entire day.
Yes. Oh, really?
I haven't heard about that. Did they? That's awesome.
That movie. We actually watched it here. I watched
the movie's
it
great.
A couple times. It is.
It is not
it's,
great.
It's
great.
Not
is a,
great.
Is a bad. It is great. Great is the wrong word. It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, okay.
So
yeah, parts
stupid.
Of it very
fun.
Come on. Will Smith punches the alien in the face. Welcome to Earth. Awesome.
Great. The alien's armor in the face.
Yeah. No, the alien that is telepathic and can control people's minds from across the room. He punches him in.
He
his
sucker punched him.
Armor.
He sucker punched him. He had no. He had no idea that that was happening.
And it's Will Smith. You know,
he's
basically Superman.
Guys,
badass.
Yeah,
he is 100%. He became a 100% badass in that moment.
He was the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, and now he's like Hollywood royalty.
Yeah, no legit
Hollywood royalty.
No question about it. Except when he works with M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh God!
Then you're just like, what?
That was
the biggest pile of crap.
Dude, why do they keep giving M. Night Shyamalan movies?
Huge question.
Why do they keep like giving him money?
They're waiting for him to make another movie like The Sixth Sense, dude.
Dude,
the
he
Sixth
peaked.
Sense was huge.
He peaked way too early.
His first film.
He caught lightning in a bottle, and it's like
exactly.
Anytime you do that, the studios would be like, well, maybe he could find it again.
Well, I liked Unbreakable.
Like the Orson Welles factor.
Unbreakable was really good, but
I liked Unbreakable for the subject.
Yeah, but it's a,
subject matter is really good.
Was good, but it's a niche movie,
right?
So
totally.
Yeah.
And then Signs was not great. The Village was not good.
There were parts of The Village that were.
And we're not.
I actually enjoyed The Village.
And we're not even going to talk about The Last Airbender. That's like the.
Oh my god!
It made me so sad.
Travesty of that movie is
seriously. It almost comes to this.
Painful.
It's almost at Star Wars prequels level of tragedy.
Rage.
That freaking
right.
It excites so much anger in me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's tangent discussion.
I want to choke the guy. when I hear Ong.
Ong.
Dude, they said it on
and
the show.
Ong and Soka.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Dude, they said it on the show. Here's the worst part. Is like the fighting and the action are better in the show than they are in the movie.
Oh, easily.
Exactly
like,
right.
100% like
accurate.
How do you screw that up? Like, this is a cartoon on Nickelodeon, and you're doing live action kung fu.
Dude, we should do a podcast where we just talk about our favorite parts of the Last Airbender TV series.
Yes.
I think that would be epic.
Dude, I talk about Korra. I talk about Korra all the time.
No, but I'm like the original three books with Aang and the Avatar team and everything.
Could,
and oh
you know,
my
we could do a part of the segment for like our scene if we want for the summer and do like a rewatch.
And that show it's tied to our past Comic-Con experience.
Right,
dude.
We should do like some rewatch stuff.
We should do some rewatch and plan. Let's plan episode 40 and
make him plans while we're podcasting.
I love it a lot.
So speaking of San Diego Comic-Con, you guys are going next week.
Comic-Con hype.
So you guys are super pumped.
Yes.
I would like to hear from Andrew about him going to the Force Awakens thing in Hall H.
Tell me your battle plan.
Oh, you both are going. Okay, let's hear the battle plan for this.
The issue was camping overnight, but I think that has been solved.
Let me give the listeners who haven't gone to Comic-Con a little preface here. Hall H is the biggest thing in its biggest room in the convention, and they usually do huge announcements in there. I've been in there twice. The times that I was in there, they announced the Crystal Skull movie was going to get made. Steven Spielberg was there. This is the kind of announcements they do in there. Like they have the Avengers panel in there, and they have like Robert Downey Jr. and all the people, Chris Evans, they're all in that room together. Yes. And so this is like the big room. This is like huge, couple thousand people.
It's 6,000.
6,000.
6,000, yeah.
And it's full all weekend long. Like, it's impossible to get in there. And it's madness. And
people
so
camp
Andrew,
overnight.
Camp overnight. And that's what Chris and Andrew are going to try to get in there.
There are stories that are told years ago about how, like, camp out. When they were going to announce, like, the full Avengers cast or whatever, like, 3 or 4 years ago when they first did that, and they were going to, you know, introduce everybody, and Joss Whedon was going to be there and everything else, and they were like, it was the year before they were going to, they tell the story about how people camped out overnight for the Marvel panel the next day, like, Chris Evans bought, like, 500 pizzas or something like that.
Oh, wow.
For the people that camped out overnight. So they tell, that might be apocryphal, but there's stories out there of people. Like, when they camp out overnight, like, the
stars
go by.
You don't have to tell stories, dude. We've observed it. We've observed the line.
But the line is all ridiculous.
We've been there to observe. The line's into Hall H the night before.
Well,
I've been absurd.
What's the one upstairs, like Ballroom 20? That one gets really full. Gets really full, too. But that's only, like, a couple thousand people, right?
For at least a couple hours for
that's at least a couple hours to get into Ballroom 20. I remember showing up super early.
I've been in line for a couple hours for Ballroom 20.
Exactly. So Hall H is like ramped up extreme version. Extreme.
Extreme.
I realize that every time like I hear extreme now, I have to like say it like that. You know.
Yeah.
Extreme.
You know you've graduated when in years past the Game of Thrones panel.
Sorry for the technical difficulties there. We had to reassess our internet issues. We are back. Andrew.
Back.
You were talking about... You were talking about Hall H, like wristbands or something? That's what I heard, I think?
No, we did the whole preface about how, you know, it's Hall H is the most in-demand kind of seat to get at the con for the panels that are in there. It's the biggest stars.
So they're doing
the biggest announcement. So they do this thing where you go to a hotel that's near the convention center first to a specific room. It's all associated with the con, and they give you a wristband. After a certain time the night before, like it's like 8:30 or something, right, Christopher? You go to this place after 8:30 or after 8:30.
I don't think it's a hotel room, dude. I think it's you line up behind the convention center. At least that's what I saw on the update.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. So you get in line, they give you a wristband, and it guarantees you entry the next morning for the first panel, whatever the first panel is, like it said, 10 or 11. So you don't have to queue up all night and camp out all night. You can show up in the morning and get in the line, and then
So it guarantees you to get in the room, just not close to the stage.
So wait a second. Is the line for the wristbands, do you have to get there overnight to get into that line?
No.
Why not? Why isn't it the same line? It's the same
people
difference.
People are going to start – the way they've set this up, which is makes a lot of sense, but it's still – the line for the wristbands is likely going to start during the day on Thursday.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. That's my guess.
No doubt of that.
Because they start handing them out at 8:30 on Thursday night for the Friday session. And so there will be freaking people who will skip all of Thursday
because they want to see something Friday.
Because they want to be in Hall H for the Star Wars panel.
Oh, for sure. I mean, let's describe. I mean, I don't know. Did we talk? We didn't. I don't know.
We didn't talk about what's the program. Yeah. The program. This is why Friday Hall H program.
Yeah, break it down. Break it down.
Will be
Friday
the
Hall H.
Single toughest ticket in the history of the con.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we talked about this a little bit before, but yeah, no, it's Walking Dead.
Yeah.
The whole cast at like 11 or 12. Okay. And then Fear the Walking Dead, the Walking Dead, you know, spin-off show with the entire cast. Game of Thrones panel with the entire cast.
That'll be insane.
More or less.
That'll be insane.
That'll be insane. And then the Force Awakens panel with J.J. Abrams.
That's 4 o'clock. That's the big one. That's a big one. Who's coming for that?
J.J. Abrams is coming for that.
But are they going to have like? Are they going to have like? You know,
I guarantee you, Hamill will be there.
Mark Hamill. Oh, yes. That would be awesome.
I would be surprised if Carrie Fisher was there.
I guarantee right now on the podcast that Carrie Fisher will be there.
Oh yeah, that's cool. Do you think
Harrison Ford
will be there?
He's disdainful of a lot of it. But did he show up for Ender's Game? I mean, he's shown up.
He showed up. He's been to Comic Con.
He shows up.
San Diego Comic Con draws the stars, dude.
They haven't announced those three. I almost guarantee you those three are there. I mean, that's why the anticipation of that panel is humongous because I have this strong suspicion all three of them will be there.
Well, and
They're going to show footage.
They will show a scene or a new trailer.
They will show new footage for sure. They always do.
Oh, yeah.
How much money do you think they have to offer Harrison Ford to get him to come? Like,
oh, it's part of his contract, dude. He's
the studio pays him. The studio pays him to show up, and I bet you it's $100,000. Some ridiculous number that you can't even fathom.
Yeah. And he shows up, and he's there for 45 minutes, and then he leaves.
Yeah. That's awesome.
He flies his helicopter into San Diego, lands.
Lands it on a yacht out in the
exactly. Exactly. Takes a boat in, gets off the boat, walks into Hall H, waves the flag, says, I'm so excited, I'm so glad you guys are the best fans.
No, he doesn't
world.
Even do that. Like, Harrison Ford has become that. like an angry old man where he's just
he will.
Like,
he's like, that question is stupid.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I'm Han Solo.
I'm Han Solo. I'm Indiana Jones. I'm the first best Jack Ryan.
That might be the title of this episode is Shut Up, I'm Han Solo.
Exactly what it is. Shut up, I'm Han Solo.
Oh gosh. So that's awesome. So you're attempting. So the plan is for you guys is to get the wristbands on Thursday for the Friday panels, just to get in the damn room. Like you don't even care about being close. You don't need to camp overnight. You just want to be like the last row in the very back in Hall H.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Okay.
We talked about this, and we have absolutely. Andrew was fully willing to sleep out overnight.
Yeah,
I was.
I'm not there, but I am absolutely willing to get up at 5 a.m. on Friday morning and get ready and go down to the convention center and get in line for Hall H that morning.
Here's the thing that you're forgetting, brother, is this is like a giant collection of level fives. And level fives, they show up 2 days ahead of time and camp out.
I understand.
And so
there won't be 5,000 level fives.
There's not 5,000 level fives. They are very low. But this is the largest collection of level fives in the history of all.
Oh, easily.
I'm totally anticipating that we're going to sit in the last half of Hall A.
Oh, yeah. Everybody in the first.
I accept that.
Everybody in the first half is a four or five.
Exactly
guaranteed.
Right.
Everything.
Four or five. Four and a half.
Four and a half. Like they're on the fence of being a five, but they've moved out of their mother's basement, so they're technically a four. So
exactly. No, I'm. And I mean, and there are people who have very specific fandom. Like, I mean, I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan. I have watched every single episode. I, you know, read the books. I'm totally into it. My handle for Gmail for this for the podcast is King of the North. I'm a big time fan. But when it comes to Star Wars, like everything else is less. I am a Star Wars geek.
It'll be an interesting because certainly the prequels killed away the casual fan, right? If my conversations with my partner at the firm, I have regular conversations with him about all things geek, and he's disdainful of all things geek. Yeah. Except when he's a fan of sort of the, you know, he likes the Marvel movies and. But he's the epitome of the casual geek. He's a Star Wars fan. He's a Star Trek fan. He's the epitome of a casual geek, right? And then the prequels absolutely destroyed any sort of that childhood fandom, like that woven into your genes kind of a notion of being a Star Wars fan. They really devastated that for him. And so it's fascinating in my mind to see what the energy is and what the turnout is for The Force Awakens.
This is a geek second coming, dude.
Right.
This is
why I said, dude, the ticket for this hall on Friday, it will be the toughest. Getting in there will be the toughest in the history of the con.
Yeah.
Because these are the peeps. The peeps that go to this thing are the peeps that are sitting there clicking to hopefully get in and be able to buy a ticket. Star Wars kind of level.
Star Wars is like the beginning of all geekdom, dude. It's so late, you know, it's like the 70s, you know, starting and all these geeks were like growing up.
100%.
Right. It was like the front runner. It was like, hey, you can make these, like science fiction movies, and then they can be good. Like nothing was good before that. That was science fiction. They were all B movie, and they were hokey.
And everything since then has been compared to it. So
everything. Yep.
There's no question about it. So that alone. That it will be an amazing couple of days. Thursday and Friday will be an amazing couple of days because we are absolutely committed to doing whatever.
To hear regular updates on Twitter from you guys. I want to hear regular updates on the text chain that we have going. And I want after you guys see the thing on Friday, if you get in,
when we get in.
I want like a Brothers Geek recording that night to talk about it. I want us to hear the report of what you saw that day, and that's what we'll do. Any other things you're excited about for San Diego that you want to talk about before we move on?
There's all the things. You can't really describe Comic-Con in its entirety unless you've really been there. It's like the Matrix. It really is.
I am very much looking forward to. There's a panel that I highlighted. I forget which day it's on, but it's the creators of Avatar and Korra.
Oh yeah.
Have nice. A panel.
Yes.
Not the fan panel that we went to last year. This is an actual panel by the creators.
Yeah.
I am very much committed to attending that.
Do you think they're gonna keep going with Korra or another Avatar series on Netflix?
Do you think that's
what they'll announce?
Well, a little con nostalgia. One of the best panels I think we ever went to was the week after the series finale of Avatar: The Last Airbender, and they showed part of the finale, and it was a 2-hour panel in the evening, and they did awards for fan costumes.
We were the oldest people in the room, by the way.
Oh no, there were people that were older than us.
No, I know.
We were definitely skewed the demographic.
We were in the higher age percentile.
They had 500 T-shirts that they gave.
Oh yeah,
to
I still have that shirt. It's great.
I love that shirt so much. Oh, yeah, that shirt is awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Such a great panel. That was one of the best panels.
And they showed the whole episode.
Exactly. They showed an hour of it. Yeah. It was awesome. It was so good. And those guys are great at panels. The creators of Avatar. Those guys are awesome. So that I will definitely try to go to that one with you as well.
There's the Sherlock panel. I want to see the Sherlock panel.
Anybody big going to Sherlock panel?
Cumberbatch is not there. I think it's
those guys are so busy. Those two are in like every movie.
Because there's crossover. There'll be Doctor Who. I mean, there's a Doctor Who panel.
Oh yeah,
and what's his name? Moffat is at both. And
oh so wow, Moffat! I'm
gonna hit both of those.
Oh, that's
Patrick,
good.
I saw today your kind of crush of the moment, Rose McIver from what is she on iZombie?
Yeah,
she's gonna be at Comic-Con.
Ooh,
it might be fun to go to. Yeah, if she's at the like CW.
I don't know if I could be attracted to her all like not paled up and blonde and white hair. Like I don't know. Like I think that's part of the attraction. I think that's part of the attraction is that she's all like zombied. Is that weird?
It's weird, dude. She eats brains.
All right, she eats brains. You know,
it's weird.
Takes on the attributes of someone she eats. So,
I'm not down with that.
She's their own man, I guess.
You know, don't judge me. Don't judge me.
I don't know. If we can stop from judging you. It's
cool.
And the show floor is always awesome. I love the scene.
I got another question for you. Is there anything purchase wise that you are going to be looking for? Something to find that is kind of rare, like a T-shirt or a comic. We found the Holy Grail, so you don't need to look for that anymore.
What I've shifted to lately in terms of cons is I want to find a unique Firefly related thing.
Okay,
yeah,
that has been my sort
unique
of
unique Firefly like. Painting T-shirt.
The medium is irrelevant. It is all about that is a Firefly related thing that is ultra cool that appeals to me, and it's not outrageously expensive. Like last year,
get the fan made stuff. Get something made by some random artist or something.
Yes, no. Last year, I talked to the dudes who are making a 1/12 replica of Serenity. And they were taking orders for $5,000, and it was like 3 feet
statue.
Long.
Yeah,
you opened it. You saw inside the ship. I mean, something that's reasonably priced is what I'm looking for. So that's probably going to be my focus. Usually,
are we talking like $100? Reasonably priced? That's about right. That's good. Okay. I always feel like cons for me are like a good way to get caught up on like books that I am behind on that I've been meaning to read. Like I buy trades or collections because those are tough to find sometimes.
I'll say the other thing I'm looking for is a solid Silver Surfer trade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in a Silver Surfer sort of a mood lately because I've seen a couple of things and I want to.
Is there a Silver Surfer collection?
I'm gonna get that. I think.
Why isn't there like a good writer on Silver Surfer? I love the idea, and it'd be fun to make like this guy who flies through space on a spaceboard, like dealing with problems in space. There's so much like open area there, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Marvel should focus on that. Doing a Silver Surfer.
It's challenging though because it's too big, right?
And right.
It's hard to focus on. I mean, the way to do it right is to distill it down to his humanity and to focus on quote-unquote humanity, right? And distill it down into and examine all of those characteristics and what situation he's in. But it's also too big because the dude has the power cosmic and he deals with Galactus and blah, blah, blah. All of that is, you know, humongous. You're not dealing with Spider-Man level issues.
Well, maybe because Silver Surfer is like flying through space, and maybe they need to like give him a story where he's like on Earth or something, and like he has to deal with some problems.
Well, there is a storyline where he's trapped on Earth. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so that's going to be in terms of books. That's going to be an area of focus for me is a Silver Surfer collection. So,
cool. I like it. All right.
Anything you're targeting?
Yeah. Anything targeted, Andrew?
I can't say that I usually look for the thing that strikes me in the moment in terms of this is something I just feel like I have to have right now. I haven't given much kind of forethought to it, honestly, but there's walking around the convention floor, you see, I mean, anything you could ever want to be interested in as a geek, you will find there. Yep. And sometimes it'll be a Star Wars related thing. Sometimes it'll be a Firefly related thing. Sometimes it'll be a Game of Thrones related thing. I'm not a huge collectibles guy, but if something strikes my fancy and I can find something that's reasonably priced and I can kind of get it home without getting it wrecked, who knows what I'll make a purchase on. But I mean, my fandom is pretty wide and deep. So if I find something that I really like, Comic-Con is when you're most hyped up about that kind of stuff. So you're most willing to part with your money.
I'll be a little more tempered at San Diego in terms of purchases, because I went 0-60 at Phoenix Comic-Con because I purchased 4 pieces of art from an artist. And I just took them to Michael's to have them all framed. I've spent some money on that, and so I will likely avoid sort of a big expenditure, because those are going to look incredible, and the artist did renderings of the 4 vessels that are in all of my areas of sci-fi interest: Millennium Falcon, Enterprise, the TARDIS, and Serenity. Hmm. And I bought all 4. And it's similar styles, and it's going to look awesome when it's all done. So in terms of sort of a major acquisition, or we've talked about this before. I always, part of my most, the most fun I get out of it is going into Artist Alley and talking to the random thing that just catches my eye, right? We've done that the last few times where we walk up and down the aisles of Artist Alley, and this, you know, we meet the unknown dude or woman who is writing and either the artist on his or her own book or her own art.
They're hoping to get discovered. They're hoping to be picked up.
So that's I really enjoy that, and I like talking to them. So I'm going to keep my eye out for that this year, too. I really am going to focus on some of that, too.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's enough con discussion. Let's do some scene up in here. Andrew, what do you have for some scene?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I am... in about 90 minutes is the season finale for Penny Dreadful season 2. So I'm chomping at the bit to watch that. Hopefully I can stay awake, because it doesn't show until 10 o'clock and I've been going to bed a little bit early. But yeah, no, I am very excited. The second half of season 2 of Penny Dreadful has been extremely has moved forward in a very compelling, interesting way. And there's all kinds of dark and mysterious and terrible things going on, and I am very much enjoying it, and I can't wait to see how everything kind of shakes out or doesn't shake out, because who knows, there could be huge cliffhangers at the end of the season, because they've already announced that season 3 is happening. So yeah, I have been watching Penny Dreadful, and that show is just fantastic. It is so good. And shout out to Billy Piper, who plays a very key character again this year, different character than the one she played last year. And you can kind of imagine how that all works. But she has been
spoiler free, Andrew.
Spoiler free. She has been deeply, deeply kind of terrifying in the last couple episodes. I'm not gonna lie. Like, legitimately terrifying.
Yes, fantastic.
Whoa, okay. Because where I'm at, she's like, you know, not terrifying. So
she becomes terrifying.
My god. Yeah, oh my god, dude.
Like chills, you're like, you feel it in your woman.
She comes into her own.
I need to binge watch like crazy now. Jeez. I'm only on like episode 3, so.
No, you got to catch up, bro. And I never watched. I mean, the only experience I really have with Billy Piper is from the show. I know she's got the Doctor Who thing going on, and she was the lead in another British drama, or British comedy. I think it was something, The Diary of a Call Girl or something like that, where she might have won a couple of awards. So she's a legit actress in many ways. But the only real exposure I've had to her is from this show, and she's fantastic. She is so good.
She was great in Doctor Who too. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she's one of the she was best companions by far.
Yep, whose companion was she? What doctor was she with?
David Tennant.
She had overlap with Eccleston and Tennant.
Oh really? Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Eccleston was just one series, right? He was just like
one 10-episode stretch, and then Tennant took over for three, and Billy Piper was there for two of them, I think.
I think that's
right. Her character leave on Doctor Who, or did she die?
She went to another dimension with a copy of the Doctor. Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
That's the only they can do on Doctor Who.
She went to an alternate dimension, and she came back like years later as like a bad egg because that dimension was all messed up. So that was a cool little story arc for
Billy,
her character.
Billy Piper is pretty legit. She's been probably the whole series is strong, but she's been probably the best part of this season, and to see how her character has evolved and what she has become, she's very compelling. And
Dorian Gray's arc this year has been ridiculous. I mean, subtly, some of the best stuff of this season. Dorian Gray's arc, I mean, just bonkers shit. And their storylines intertwine.
Yeah.
At the end here, and it is nuts. It's nuts. It is
legitimately terrifying.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't. Oh my god. Anyway, I can't wait.
And that's not even.
The two of them like have like a little love affair in season one, don't they? Like just for like a second.
He hires her.
Right.
She's a prostitute.
Right. She's a prostitute, and he's looking for experiences, and so she's part of one of the experiences he has. And then, well, no spoilers. So, but watch it because it's freaking awesome.
It's really good.
All right.
And the show, and season finale's in an hour and a half.
I'm going to get caught up, and I won't be caught up to watch the season finale, but I will definitely be.
Well, you'll be caught up by the time the next recording.
I will do that so that we can talk about the finale. I will make a commitment to watch that this week.
Cool.
Awesome. You got anything else?
Yeah.
That's good.
No, that's pretty. I mean, I watch other things, but Penny Dreadful is what I'm most excited for now, so I can't wait for it.
It's kind of been like a lull in the. Have you watched the new season of True Detective? I haven't watched any of them.
Oh no, I have. I actually watched the most recent episode before we got online. I'll say the most recent episode, the mystery picks up a little bit more.
You mean the most recent episode being tonight's episode?
Yeah,
tonight's episode. Yeah, okay. It aired at 6 o'clock, and I watched it. The mystery picks up a little bit. I'm not. I don't know. There, it suffers from not having Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey for whatever reason. Those guys just. I don't know. It's not as compelling as it was last year for me. I'll be honest about that. I hope the mystery gets better.
All right.
Yeah, Colin Farrell's good, but.
He's not a good enough character to keep you interested.
Not yet. And Rachel McAdams is very good as well, but she's not an interesting enough character to keep me going as well.
Oh, season one was so good, and the reason why season one is so good is because like those two were so interesting. And
exactly,
I mean, they were horrible people, but they were so interesting to watch,
and they played well off each other.
Yeah. And the opening episode is it's the environment, and the opening hook was much more compelling in season one.
Yeah, okay.
This hook is far less compelling. So that's it suffers because of that, because you know it was a really cool setting and. An interesting crime where this is, you know, not close to that interesting.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know,
agreed.
The writing is good. The characters seemed, you know, all of the characters involved are all damaged and broken. And so it will be interesting to see. I'm interested to see sort of how it plays out. So
I'm not as ravenous as I was season one. Like I was chomping at the bit for every new episode, and I watch it, but I'm not like oh my god, it's almost on. You know,
for sure.
I'm not nearly as excited about new episodes. So,
yep.
Okay,
that's
okay.
My critique on season two.
Christopher,
so far.
What's your scene, sir?
I will highlight two things in scene. I went with Dad to see Terminator Genesis.
Oh my god! What'd you think?
It is a valiant attempt to
oh god, that's not
rekindle the franchise. I am huge fans of actually all of the actors involved. And like I said, it is a valiant attempt and does not succeed.
Oh no.
In being a compelling movie. There are awesome set pieces that you would expect from the Terminator franchise. There are some funny moments, and they do a nice job of capturing the tone, the humor involved in Terminator 2. They do a nice job of that. I have to give the writers credit and the actors credit. But the story is incoherent. If you're making a film about time travel, people need to be able to follow it at least on the surface level. Follow what you're trying to do. If they think too hard on any time travel movie, you go kind of bonkers. Mm-hmm. But a good time travel movie like Looper is a prime example, where they have a very simple, coherent explanation and they don't dwell on it. Right? And and then they move on and you have compelling story. Well, in this, there's multiple time jumps. There's the explanation for what the hell's happening is not coherent. It was cute the way they explained an older Arnold. I give him props for that. But then what happens to him at the end is like shake your head, like are you effing kidding me kind of a moment, right? That even in that sort of world of technology that they've set up, you're like, really? That's your reaction? And if you have that reaction to the most compelling, the centerpiece of the whole movie, it's like, okay. Yeah, it's not working. It's not working. Mm-hmm. So there are set pieces that are entertaining, but it doesn't.
There's a lot of reluctance in your voice.
I wanted to like it a lot.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like
this. Sounds like disappointment. This sounds like utter disappointment. So
it's not utter disappointment. It's grudging. I didn't hate it.
You don't feel like you wasted.
I wanted to love it. And I didn't love it.
Your expectations were way too high, my friend.
Maybe so.
Here's the question. Do you feel like you wasted your time and or money?
No.
Okay.
That's good. That's
sometimes
something.
Sometimes that's the best you can.
But then, that's hindsight, and that's me processing through. You know, there's some cool stuff that happens in the movie, and that's, okay. I love movies.
Let's drill this down a little bit. How is Emilia Clarke as the new Sarah Connor? Because we love her as the Khaleesi in Game of Thrones. She pulls it off.
She is terrific, yes.
Okay, good.
And her take on Sarah Connor, I mean, listen, they did the Star Trek reboot. This is exactly that.
Yeah.
In the Terminator world.
Yeah.
So they do a nice job of that. It's they learned and they took some strong lessons from the Star Trek reboot. And so they do a nice job. And she's good.
Cool.
And Kyle Reese, the guy who plays Kyle Reese, he was in Spartacus.
His name is Jay Courtney.
Good job. And he's very good. And Matt Smith is in it.
Matt Smith is in this? What?
Yes. I won't tell you what role he plays.
Okay.
The guy who plays John Connor, I recognize him, but I can't remember his name. He's also very good. It's a bummer. I'll tell you one thing is that the promo, their advertising strategy really messes up the movie. Because the reveal of him in their frickin' advertising as somehow altered.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a gigantic reveal.
Yeah.
That transforms your expectations in the of the movie. If they would have left all of that out of their advertising campaign, it would have been a mind-blowing moment.
Yeah.
But because we all knew what was going on when we're sitting there and we're waiting for him to show up,
yeah.
It's like, okay. And so it was a bummer. It was a bummer in that moment. So, it's lukewarm. Lukewarm on that, for sure. And the other thing I'll talk about in terms of scene is – can you hear me?
I can hear you very – I can hear you perfectly.
Andrew dropped.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Stop recording.
Okay, pause. Okay, we got Andrew back.
Yeah,
the internet does not want the internet doesn't want us to record today. It's saying no.
No, seriously, so, really, just troubles all over the place.
So, anyway. Sorry, Christopher, continue your.
No worries. So I'm lukewarm on Terminator Genesis, and but I'm a huge fan of this new show on Sci-Fi called Dark Matter.
Ooh, you're sticking with that, huh?
Yes. The last couple episodes have been excellent. It is a it's a fun group of characters, interesting cast, storylines are cool so far. There's an overarching mystery. I'm a fan of it. It's not high art by any means, but it's a solid sci-fi show. So I'm continuing to watch that. I echo everything Andrew said on Penny Dreadful. That show is awesome. Sounds like I'm more of a fan of True Detective than Andrew was.
A little bit.
I'm definitely engaged in that so far. I like it a lot. So, that's my report.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yep. I have not seen all of those shows, but I'm continuing to watch Penny Dreadful. I'm behind you guys, so I will get caught up. But I also went and saw, Inside Out. Which is the new Pixar movie. Did you guys go see this movie?
I haven't seen that yet.
No. I haven't seen it yet, no.
You need to take your girls to go see this.
They've seen it. They've seen it.
Oh, okay. Okay. I think I might have touched on this then.
Yeah.
Because I asked you if you saw it. But, like, that movie's great. That's, like, next level Pixar stuff. So,
yeah, I want to see it bad.
You should definitely go see that. I thought that movie was fantastic. But I'll wait until you guys see it, and then we can talk about it further. Trying to think if I have anything else.
I'm
going to
try and see it. I'm going to see that this week, I think.
Oh,
I'll probably see it in the next 7 days also.
So I continue to try to bring a little anime to the show because there are fans of anime. I haven't watched any yet, but I was watching a show on Netflix called Knights of Sidonia.
It's a
Netflix original anime, and they added season two. This week. I haven't watched it, but I added it to my list. I'm going to binge watch it this week along with Penny Dreadful, and I'm really excited about that because season one was really good.
Give us the 3-sentence synopsis on Knights of Sidonia.
What is it about?
So, way in the future, humans have had to leave Earth because of, I don't know, weird things.
Catastrophes.
And all the humans live on this giant space station, like huge space station, and they are constantly at odds with this group of alien creatures that want to destroy them. And they are much more powerful than them, so the humans are on the run constantly. The story centers around this one character that is a
Battlestar Galactica.
It's Battlestar Galactica. But it centers around this one pilot who is, like, young and BA and is able to, like, fight him. And, no, like, everybody just gets human beings when they try to,
is
like,
she called Starbuck?
No.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
No kidding. It's a little bit that now that you say that, as I say it out loud. But it's more about, like, it's, I don't know, it's got an interesting spin to it. It's definitely not Battlestar Galactica. It's not as good. But it's fun, and the animation's fun, and the action is good, and there's lots of, like, interesting characters, and there's some cool stuff there. You know, it's not great, but it's good anime. I have an anime itch that I need to scratch, and it's doing it for now. And
okay, cool.
I enjoy it, so I'm gonna keep watching it. But Yeah, that's my 2-second pitch on Knights of Cydonia. But
cool. I've seen that in the queue, you know, on my when I've and I've been tempted, but I'm gonna give it a try. I'll watch it.
It's fun, you know. I don't think I liked it as much as I really liked. What's the one where they went into the? It was like a World of Warcraft. It was like a
Sword Art Online.
Sword Art that's Online it. Was yes. much better than this.
Okay.
So, but this is fun. You know, okay, this good. Is just a good time. And the animation's cool, so.
Yeah, I like Sword Art Online. That was
so good.
I haven't watched it all, but I enjoy the episodes I watched.
That show was good. All right. Well, that's pretty much it for that. So let's move on to some Red. You might have some big Red this week, Andrew.
I do have some big Red. I finally finished Dune.
Yay!
I will say this, the last 100 pages of that book fly by. Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible stuff happens in the last 100 pages.
It's so good.
Yes.
Dude. So good.
The previous 300 pages of just machinations and back and forth and hiding and figuring shit out and all, you know, kind of the build up to the last 100 pages. Totally worth it. Patrick called the book kind of life-changing. Yeah. I don't necessarily know if I would go that far in my description of it. I mean, I can absolutely appreciate the quality of it and kind of the groundbreaking nature of what the book is, I think, especially the fact that it came out in the mid-60s and all the ideas that it brings up and the ideas of, you know, power and gender and political stuff and you know, the ideas of religion and mysticism and, you know, all of that. It's
ecology.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, it's such a complete
human advancement
vision.
Like totally crazy weird stuff.
Yeah, it's such an amazing achievement in terms of just pure imagination. And I mean, Herbert's writing, I've said it multiple times, that's what kept me going with the book for so long, is the fact that I may not have been too interested in the events that were happening, but he writes, his prose are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like legitimately like high literature prose. I mean, they could study just the book in literature classes in college because of the quality of his writing. So I could put that down as I am finished with Dune.
Nice.
I will completely admit that I have not been able to completely expel the crap movie from my brain.
Yes.
I still imagine some of the scenes from the movie when I'm reading the book. I couldn't help it. It's just so horrible.
Well, I pictured Kyle MacLachlan the whole time. Like, you know,
it's so bad.
Because I watched that first.
It's a freaking nightmare.
It's a freaking nightmare.
Comparing the book to the movie, I have no idea what the filmmakers were thinking making the kind of movie that they did, because it is nothing.
It's
like
not,
the character names are the same, but beyond that, it is so.
It's a tragedy.
Well,
dude.
I honestly think that, and I think I said this back when I read Dune, like on the show, is I don't think they should have made a movie. Like, it's not a good, like, that. It's not that kind of story. It's so, like, introspective and, like, figuring out what
dude,
it is.
Dude, I think in today's day and age, see, here's the
it
tragedy
would be a miniseries.
Of
it should be a miniseries.
Today's day and age, it could be, in the hands of the right person, it could be the greatest 3-hour movie of all time.
It could.
It could be... The Lawrence of Arabia of sci-fi.
That's what it needs to be.
I mean, it honestly, in today's day and age, with the capabilities we have in movie making, it easily could be one of the greatest sci-fi, if not greatest, and greatest movies of all time. The book is so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely a fanboy for the book. Yeah. So it's my favorite book of all time. So. But
the book and the movie are – it's a prime example of how badly you can screw up something that's
100%,
genius. 100%. It is – the movie is so terrible and the book is so good.
Yeah,
you have to have the right filmmakers. You can't just take something that's this – you know, something so good You think I suspect, the quality of the source material.
Our lifetime, someone will make another attempt at a major film.
I hope anyone who ever saw the Dune movie that David Lynch did will have to have died. I feel like everyone will have to be dead.
So, 50 years from now, okay.
The original like print that you know is in some vault somewhere needs to be set on fire.
Wow.
Compared to that, because that's so terrible.
Do you remember what year that was made, movie guy?
1983 or 84, yeah. I think. Yeah.
So let's think right about now. Let's think about how long do people hold on to film rights?
1984,
like 50 years, maybe.
It really depends
on the contract, but like right. whoever owns the rights to that.
That's the weird Italian dude. His Italian Italian family.
Yeah,
Belisarius or Bella, somebody like that.
Yeah,
De Laurentiis, Dino De Laurentiis. That was who bought the rights to that.
Yep. So
I have no idea. I mean, whatever their deal was, how long they have it to hold on to. You know that Herbert's son, who put all those prequels and others as a money grab.
Did you like any of those books, though?
I liked some of them. I liked some of the prequels. They were good. The books that they released after the books that Frank Herbert wrote were uniformly terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And they were absolutely just trying to cash in.
I got you.
And they bummed me out. frankly,
because no one could do it as good as him.
No, they are B movie books in that.
Oh God,
it's a bummer. It's a very
terrible.
You know, and like I've said this before. It's just so next level. That you don't understand, because like the superficial idea is, you know, this guy goes to this planet. There's, you know, they mine this spice.
He gets superpowers,
and it's the spice gives you superpowers, and it makes you, you know, stronger and better and cooler.
It gives him superpowers,
right? Exactly.
That's the key.
But like that's a superficial answer. But there's so much more to this.
Oh my God, yeah.
There's so much more to this book than just that. And like I feel like the movies and the miniseries they miss out on.
They don't get it. Yeah,
they don't get it.
Yep.
It's just so far beyond them. You know, yep. It's just like next level understanding, thinking beyond humanity. You know, and it's so great. It's so fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, any other read, Andrew, that you would like
to? Well, I think we all made the commitment to read Rat Queens Volume 1.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Let's talk about that. Let's.
That is a fantastic original comic book concept.
Love it.
And it works on so many levels. It's
kick-ass, amazing female characters. Yes. I just love it.
It's dirty. And it's got it's adult, and it's got real complex relationships between these four women, and they have real emotions and they're all unique. None of them, and they fit into each kind of like trope of the fantasy kind of, you know, what's it? I'm forgetting the term of like the game you play where you're fantasy character.
Dungeons and Dragons. It's like
it's like World of Warcraft, the type of game.
Oh, role playing.
Yeah, like that. They fit into kind of there's the warrior, the tank, the rogue. There's the sorceress or whatever. So they all kind of fit into a trope like that. But then
they turn it on its head.
Completely turn it on its head. You know, they party hard. They drink hard. They have casual
drugs.
Sex. Do drugs, but they're also badasses who have a sense of honor, and they have loyalty to each other, and they're very much a family. So
they're fleshed out human beings. It's
absolutely
quote unquote human beings. They're fleshed out characters with all of the sort of strengths and weaknesses of the human condition. Right? They're not stereotypical. It's not girly. They're people. They're people with challenges and real emotions and real issues set
and
in a world where they have to fight trolls. and other creatures, and it's so fun.
And that's a perfect way to put it. It is a fun comic book.
The dialogue is just so quirky and funny, and they just rip on each other, and it's clever too. Like the scene when they go to it's like a merchant guy, and she like looks around
the
room.
He's the head of a guild,
right?
He's the head of a lending guild,
right? And like she like looks around the room and like figures stuff out, and it's like it's so cool that.
Yep.
It's so cool that they make you feel like the characters are smart. You know, they're more than
all of them are smart. Right. All of them are capable.
Yeah.
Understand why they're all together. You understand, you know, the group dynamic feels real. Mm-hmm. It is. They perfectly capture that sort of group dynamic, giving each other a hard time. But also, they're all friends. You know, mm-hmm. You want to learn more about these people, who they are, how they came to be together.
Well, Chris, you've got volume two. I picked that up. You've got that. I need to read that. I need to get that from you so I can read that over the next week.
So has the art
bring it with me to San Diego?
Let me ask you, Christopher, with the art change, is it like distracting? Is it okay? Because the art is so good in the first one.
Oh no, that's not
distracting at all.
That's another thing we need to highlight about. I mean, the art is fantastic, but the book does a wonderful job of conveying kind of this sword and sorcery action. It's so good. Like it's visceral almost. It's like it's very cinematic. I loved it.
That does not drop off with a change in artist.
Cool. Very cool.
All right, good. Then it sounds like they they sold it up to try to get somebody who had a similar style and. Keep it right. So let me ask you guys like the last few pages where what's her name, the druid character, is like looking at the paper, you know, and she's
the stuff
all
that the other I forget the character's names. Jeez, that she stole from the office,
right.
of the moneylender.
The moneylender turns out to be
involved.
Something.
Yeah.
I don't want to say what, but I'm very curious about that. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what this black book with the serpent or like a squid thing on it is.
Uh-huh. And you get the full picture of that in volume two.
Ooh, yes. Tee it up, Christopher. That's awesome.
Volume two continues that story and brings it to a wonderful conclusion while at the same time answering all new questions. It's very good.
Ooh, okay. All
nice.
Right.
I'm definitely going
to
get.
All right, so we'll try to get two.
Shit hits the proverbial fan.
I love it. Love it.
In their town.
This is a good series. Like, I could see this being like a TV show. I mean, they'd have to make it kind of violent and ridiculous, but I would love to see like five like ladies running around. This kind of show, it would be so funny.
It'd be
so funny.
Awesome on
it'd be
HBO
so fun.
Or Showtime.
Yeah, right.
It would be awesome. Yeah.
All right. Christopher, do you have any scene or read? We're going long here.
Yeah. I will say I've started to listen to book four of The Expanse.
I have picked up and I'm starting. I'm in the first 50 pages of Leviathan Wakes, so I will.
Holy
power
crap.
I am loving it already. So the first 50 pages is great. Anyway, keep going. I'm sorry.
Book four starts slow. I have to say, it's starting slowly. So hopefully it will pick up, and there will be more interesting conflict ahead. But book four, the first three books are fantastic. Book four has started slow, however. So I will absolutely listen to it and finish it. But it's definitely not as compelling as the first three so far. So
okay.
And I'm reading the new Neal Stephenson book, Seven Evas.
Mm-hmm.
And I will continue to read that, and I will report on that. Funny thing to note about reading that is the girls and I have been watching, and it was Susan. It's really Susan and I watching it, and the girls are watching it with us because we're making them. we're watching From the Earth to the Moon.
Yes.
And, nice. We're working our way through that series, and I was joking with the girls about the fact that we're watching from the Earth to the Moon, and I'm reading a book where the beginning of the book is the moon disintegrates. So they didn't find that too humorous. So.
What episode are you at for?
We're on episode.
I love that miniseries.
10 of 12.
Oh wow!
Okay,
all right. Awesome. We're watching. Yeah. Watching it, yeah.
Yeah, like, yep. We are.
That's
yeah.
cool, man. Good for you.
Our way through.
That's,
yeah,
that's I have good. That whole miniseries on DVD. I love it.
Cool. And I'll also report in terms of Red that I purchased the current volume of the Player's Handbook for Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh my gosh! Nice. And when are we going to start our Dungeons and Dragons like story here? When
that's
are we going
to? Good question. We need to. I am. It brings back so. Unbelievably great, many great memories for me of reading through. I've started from the beginning. I'm going to work my way through the Player's Handbook. All of the weekends and nights, I play with friends in Minnesota playing Dungeons and Dragons. It brings back so many awesome memories of doing that with my friends. That I'm totally down with the.
We need to
I'll read the Player's Handbook. The next one I'm going to get is the Monster Manual, and then the Dungeon Master's Handbook. I'm going to get them all. So,
dude, we need to do a segment of the show where we do some D&D. I'm
That's
totally
a good
down
idea.
With that.
That'll be fun. That would be fun. Character creation.
Character creation and then a little bit of a little bit of an encounter.
The opening encounter. Yeah, no, that would be very fun.
This would be so great. All right.
That's next level nerddom, dude. Next.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think we're doing here, bro?
No, man.
This is next level, the whole thing.
The whole thing is next level. Is that it for you for Red?
Yes,
is that,
that's
good?
It.
Okay.
Yep.
I am... listening to American Gods, I have to say it hasn't really hooked me yet. There's a lot of setup, it sounds like, so far. I'm a few hours into the listen. I will say this, it's pretty cool that it's a full cast read. So
it's got different characters.
Each character,
and different voices.
Right? Each character is a different voice actor and is consistent. And then there's like a guy reading like the book parts to you, like the narration.
Okay.
So it's pretty good for that, but I don't know. It's kind of slow, like the whole Mr. Wednesday thing, and the fight in the bar. I'm like, who is this person? What's going on? And I don't know. It just hasn't really got me. I don't care yet, you know. So I'll keep listening, and we'll see where it goes, but. I know Neil Gaiman likes to start things off a little slow and then build. So hopefully it gets better. But I'm also reading a sort of a nerd book, but it doesn't really count, I guess. It's not a geek book. It's the Camera Assistance Manual. It's a filmmaking book that I would like to talk about because I'm trying to better myself as a filmmaker. And it's so far it's very dry and it's a technical manual, but it's a lot of fun. You know, it's
that
cool.
That's
cool.
The nerdiest thing you've ever.
I know. Seen. I know.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Pretty
ever
awesome.
Brought to the podcast.
Camera Assistance Manual
Camera Assistance Manual.
It's so good, man.
Good for you, buddy.
It's pretty cool.
Unbelievable.
Well, I'm not going to school over the summer, so I'm trying to better myself to make my filmmaking better. And this is a book that was recommended to me by another filmmaker, so I'm gonna. Try it out.
Good for you, filmmaker brother.
Yes.
Good for you.
Thank you. Let's move on to some Played.
Christopher Played.
Let's go.
Played. I played some Destiny.
Mm.
Both of my characters are at 32.
Okay.
I continue to try and level up some of the weapons I have, newer weapons that I have. I got a cool rocket launcher and a secondary weapon. But I haven't played a whole lot of Destiny this week because you'll be amazed to hear I've been playing WoW this week.
Whoa!
What?
Yes!
Callback? Whoa. What? Explain.
Patch 6.2 dropped.
Oh.
Okay. Major content patch where they added a whole new area to explore and new things to do and a whole new raid.
Whoa.
And it piqued my interest and I loaded it up and I found myself completely like I updated all my add-ons. I like totally reinvested in it's like figured out, okay, what do I need to do with my character to get caught up? And I, you know, because I didn't play WoW for months.
Yeah.
I'm sort of going through this interesting period of sort of it's fresh and fun. And I played a lot of it this week. Just sort of logging on and doing exploring the new stuff and doing some new quests and going through the new quest line. And one of the new things you get to do is to create a shipyard and you build battleships and destroyers and transports. And okay. Then you send your,
is this
you
part of your ships like out your little city thing? Is
garrison. That what, yes.
Yeah. It's garrison.
It's an add on to your garrison essentially,
cool.
But it's a whole new area. You have to walk to it or ride to it. And you construct these ships, and then you send them out on missions, naval missions that are related to the new geographic area that they've opened up. So it's a fun new addition, and it's a sort of a similar mechanic to the garrison follower thing. But it's, you know, it's new and fresh, and I've been having fun because I'm nautical, as Andrew knows. So
you are nautical. That is a fact.
Yeah. So
you took out your new kayak on the lake.
I did. Christened
the new
the surprise.
Yes.
It's a surprise.
It is. My kayak is the surprise.
That is the geekiest thing.
Yes.
It's from the Master and Commander books, people, if you
yes,
didn't know.
From Master and Patrick O'Brien.
Everyone should watch the Russell Crowe Master Commander first.
Such a great movie.
Everyone should read those books, too. They
oh,
are
my God. Talk about technical manuals. Ugh.
Seriously. Let's describe how long each piece of rigging is on the
yes,
freaking
they
ship.
Are,
for 50
they
pages.
Are freaking detailed.
Greatest oh line God. Of that movie is, one hand for the ship, one hand for yourself. Love
exactly
it. Right. Love it.
Yep.
Yep.
Gets me jacked every time he says
still
that.
Still a lesson that we impart to the younger schmaltzes. One hand for you, one hand for the ship.
Exactly yeah. Right.
I love it.
Yep. All right.
But yeah, I actually have been playing a bunch of WoW this week and really enjoying it. So that I fully anticipate that to continue because I'm enjoying the content and it's been fun to get back into the world. So
that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Yeah. Andrew, let's hear some playing, you know?
I continue to play some Destiny, surprisingly. Leveling stuff, playing Prison of Elders. I'm enjoying that game very much. My interest and my excitement about the game has been reinvigorated because I've discovered Twitch, so I've been watching some Twitch gamers play, and they talk about it, and they really enjoy it, and obviously because they play it for 8-10 hours a day. I very much enjoy that game. I am a Destiny gamer. I think I will stick with it. There's a new expansion coming out in
they've already September. Announced a new expansion.
Oh, September.
Yeah. The Taken King. It's going to be huge. It's going to be a full other game. There's going to be a whole new
whole
campaign.
Controversy over the pricing and
the
stuff involved.
I heard about some of that.
Yeah.
What?
Oh yeah.
Can you,
no, the,
can you
the,
touch
the,
on that for a second? Like what?
Oh, no, basically the year one gamers. The Taken King. Bungie has been very upfront about the fact that they want it to be a new way for new gamers to get into the game. It'll be a whole new campaign. You'll be a way to. It'll be a way for you to level up your character to get to the end game stuff without, you know, having to go through the kind of vanilla Destiny process.
Okay.
And people who are year one gamers are pissed off about that. They were like, why should we've already spent $80 or so on the original Destiny and then two expansions, and now people are going to come in and they're going to be able to level up.
No, be specific, Andrew. You're glossing over what people are really pissed off about is because year one gamers are pissed – because in order to get some exclusive, unique content in the game.
Yeah.
You have to purchase the entire game again.
Yeah. What?
Yes. There are specific shaders. It's a couple of ships, I think. Anyway, there is some exclusive content that the only way to access it is by buying the complete game.
Yep.
And so they have not priced it separately. This new exclusive content is not available via a separate package for the year one gamers who have been playing from day one. Yeah. There's no way to acquire it separate from the complete package.
Yep.
And so,
do they just like hate their gamers?
Lost their minds.
Idiotic. It's so.
What is wrong with them?
Right.
Wrong with them?
You could separate it out and price it at even $20, and people would bitch about how much that is, but they would buy it because you wouldn't have to acquire the complete game again.
Yep.
But you have to pay for the complete game with the expansions in order to get this unique content.
So stupid.
And everything in the game is about acquiring more and more gear.
Right.
And more
That's
stuff.
How you differentiate. You know how it is. It's a hybrid MMO.
Yeah.
So, Patrick, you understand. You want the unique cloaks and the shaders and all of that because it differentiates your character.
Your character is infinitely customizable in this game.
Right.
It's awesome. That's one of the best parts. It's
not
you
infinitely
feel totally unique.
It's well, not infinitely. And the way you customize it is having these unique things, which now, for year one gamers, the only way you can get it is to buy the complete game.
Does Bungie, Activision, ridiculous. do they just like hate the people who play their games? Like, is that
the end? They can't hate it. They want to create a good game,
but they also want to rip them off. Is what you're saying?
That's a knee jerk. It's about money. The reality is producing video games and marketing video games and is very, very expensive. It's very, very profitable, but it's very, very expensive too. So I think that there is some, I think there's some of, they could do a better job in some ways of making the year one gamers feel appreciated for their loyalty and how much they love this game. And that can absolutely be done in a better way. But I think that gamers are going to bitch about everything and anything they can because of the nature of what they do. They always are going to find something to bitch about.
Well, my guess is because of the outcry, they're going to carve out those unique items and price it at some ridiculous number. I mean,
they'll figure out a way to do it.
It'll be $20 is my guess. And, that's a ridiculous price for what these unique things are. But my guess is they will figure out a way to carve it out, and then they will soak people for $20, those people who really have to have it, and they'll make money. They'll see this is an opportunity to make more money, so they will.
And no one is – and the reality of the fact is this. No one's compelling anybody to play this game. It's not like you're being forced to. If you don't want to play the game, you don't want to spend the money, don't spend the money.
Exactly right.
I don't think Bungie's gonna go belly up.
After the 60th time I've got booted for no good reason, that was when I stopped playing the game. So,
well, that has to do with your internet.
I've never been booted.
Every other game that I play on my Xbox has no problems. I connect to them perfectly. I played GTA 5. I played Dragon Age Online. I no problems. No issues. Bungie's connection is just messed up, dude.
I think it's legitimate to say that Bungie's process with Destiny has been a work in progress over the past year. I think that the expansions have consistently gotten better, and the platform has consistently gotten better.
I'm enthusiastic. The Taken King sounds solid.
I'm going to spend the money. I'm committed to this game. I'm enthusiastic about it.
How much are they charging for that one? $20?
There's certain expansion. There's certain different levels.
No, the normal expansion is
$40.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's like a whole other – the way they've described it is a whole other game. There's like a whole campaign of 10 or 20 missions. There's new quest lines. There's a new raid. It's not just like you get – two or three quests and a new, you know, a new kind of, that's a whole new patrol area for the Dreadnought. Yeah. It's going to feel like a whole another game.
Okay.
So it's not a full game, but it's close to a full.
Oh, and I'll plug this right now. Tuesday, July 7th is Bungie Day. I don't know if you guys read the weekly update. I get it on my Destiny Companion app. But if you log on that day and you are a year one gamer with a level 30 character, or anybody, if you bought the play the game in year one, there's going to be some kind of special event happening and some kind of, you know, thank you given to year one gamers. So,
well, that's nice.
Everyone should log in on, if you're a Destiny gamer, log in on sure. July 7th
okay.
and see what happens. Because cool. they said it'll be, well, they said it's a day to appreciate the year one gamers. So,
all right. Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. So my played. I continued to play Fallout Shelter on my phone. I had a rad roach infestation that killed... I had up to 30 guys, right? They're all running around. 30 people running around, yeah. Doing well. Everything's fine. I had a rad roach infestation that killed all but two of my dwellers.
Wow.
And so I had to restart with no money, like no money and like no.
Had you not been doing something with your shelter that you should have to prevent this roach infestation?
Rad roaches are tenacious, and all of my dwellers were not equipped as I'd like. They weren't all packing, you know.
Yeah, sure.
They all don't have armor. I'm happy to say that I've regrown my shelter up to 70 people now.
Okay.
That's good.
They are all strapped at all times. ready
you
for
learned your lesson.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. Because like if one guy, yeah, you know, you have like two guys in the
first lesson is you got to fortify your base.
Right. Well, like, you know, I hadn't really had like a problem with them, and it like this one room got out of control, and then it just spread to all these other rooms, just started killing everybody, and it was just like, oh no. And like I couldn't stop it. Like the people who were you know, who could handle it, who had the guns, were dead, and you could pay money to bring them back, but I was out of money. So I had no money to resurrect them. Yeah. So I was screwed. They just killed everybody but two people.
Jeez,
it's terrible.
So it was rough.
You just felt like a failure as a shelter.
I did not look at my shelter for a couple days there because I was real sad about it.
You were so dejected.
I was so like, what do I do? Should I just start over? I thought about just like starting a new one.
I'm glad you pressed on.
Furiosa has gotten me tons of gear and weapons for all of my dwellers. They are all now very powerful and can handle anything. So, yes, that's I keep doing that. It's super addicting. Oh my god. I check it every couple hours and do everything, and it's so great, man. So yeah. Great. Andrew, what do you have for trivia for us?
I have because I've become so excited about it lately, I have a Twitch-themed trivia question for you.
Ooh.
There are, right now, I have the Twitch website up on my computer. I want you to, and there are dozens of games being played.
Okay.
I want you to tell me, give me 5 of the top 10 games currently played on Twitch right now, in terms of number of viewers.
It's got to be
5.
Okay, it's got to be like League of Legends.
League of Legends.
Dota 2, maybe?
Okay.
League of Legends, Dota 2, Hearthstone.
What's the new one? Heroes of the Storm, possibly?
Heroes of the Storm.
Let's think. What else?
Okay, so that's 4 guesses so far. League of Legends, Hearthstone, Dota 2, and Heroes of the Storm.
Yes.
We got to get one more at least.
Are any of those in the top 10?
Multiple of those are in the top 10.
Ooh, all right. Okay. We're on the right track. Okay.
Yep, certainly are.
What else? What else? People like
Call
the...
of Duty. Did you say Call of Duty?
There's probably like a Call of Duty
Call
in there.
Call of Duty.
Or there's like a...
Advanced Warfare.
You think there's a Destiny? Destiny's got to be in the top 10. That's why Andrew's talking about this.
I would say Destiny.
Yeah.
Okay, that's like 6 or 7 guesses, guys.
Okay. Well, what's... I like the first 4 we did. What's a good 5th?
League of Legends. You guys have League of Legends, Hearthstone, Dota 2,
Heroes of the Storm.
What's your last guess?
What's our last guess?
Destiny.
Let's say Destiny. Okay.
Okay. The number one viewed game right now in League of Legends is League of Legends.
Oh, nice.
On Twitch.
Yeah.
Almost 80,000 viewers. It's Arizona right now. It's 9:30 on a Sunday night.
It's a spectator sport, dude.
80,000 people are watching League of Legends.
I don't get it. It's so boring.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, I suppose if I watched the game more, I might understand it, but right. I don't really.
I watched the international last year. That's Dota 2, though, right?
Yeah. And, but Dota 2, right now, Dota 2 is.
I found it amazingly compelling, even though I couldn't follow most of what was going on.
Right.
So. All right. I mean, once you pick up the lingo and you pick up, okay, this is the gameplay, I actually enjoyed watching it.
Final boss 175 going absolutely massive, making big plays. Yeah,
right.
The comment on stream commentary. Okay. With the carry. League of Legends is currently number one with almost 80,000 viewers. Counter Strike. 46,000 viewers right now.
Counter Strike is huge.
Yeah. Hearthstone is number 3. It has almost 29,000 viewers. And
that I can't. I mean, that's bonkers.
It's card playing.
It's a card game
online.
And people are watching people.
Serious. It's so.
I don't get it at all.
I do play it on my phone though. It's an awesome phone.
I can understand playing the game is fine. You can enjoy playing it, but watching people play it.
It
makes no sense. And Dota 2 is the 4th one, 17,000 viewers.
All right.
Destiny currently is number, let's see. It's the 9th most watched game with 11.
We're in the top 10.
It drops off pretty drastically because the first 3, you know, have 80,000 and 46,000 and 29,000, and then Destiny drops down to like 11. So there's a couple big streamers for Destiny, and then there's kind of multiple people.
Is Heroes of the Storm on this list?
Heroes of the Storm is on the list. There's currently 7,800 people watching Heroes of the Storm. They're not in the top 10?
They're not top 10, though.
Just outside the top 10.
Oh, man.
Okay, so we missed.
So who's the
Heroes
other?
Heroes of the Storm and Call of Duty, right?
Who are the other? Yeah. What's the other 10? What's the other 5?
Yeah. Number 5 right now is Polybridge, which I don't even know what that is.
What the heck is that?
Yeah, exactly. 16,000 viewers, though.
Whoa.
Arma 3 has
almost
14,000 viewers. Minecraft has 12,000.
Minecraft.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto about...
5 has 12,000 viewers. Destiny has 11. Call of Duty Black Ops has 8,000 viewers.
Black Ops.
Yeah.
How do you spell Polybridge?
P-O-L-Y, second word, bridge. B-R-I-D-G.
Polybridge.
I'm trying to find this here. Oh, weird.
What is it?
It looks like you build a bridge across this like thing.
like a physics game?
Like a physics game.
Oh my god.
you build a bridge across like a...
You have materials, it looks like, and then you have to build a bridge to cross an expanse.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
And like there's people... And then
there's
you like test
where
it.
12,000 people are watching.
You test it, and like people try to drive across, and they like fall into the water if you fail to be a good bridge builder.
Awesome. That is awesome.
It looks absurd.
Chris is going to become obsessed with Polybridge now.
It's probably free. It's probably a free game.
Oh yeah,
I need to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Those are your top 10 games. Good job, though, guys.
That was good. Thank you.
4 out of 5. Good job.
Good.
If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you can email him at kinglenorth52@gmail.com. If you'd like to email the show about questions or comments, or you want to find the two brothers at San Diego Comic-Con, you should email us at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. You should also follow us on Twitter at brothers_geek@twitter.com. Took me a second to think about that.
Absolutely. We will be live tweeting throughout Comic-Con.
Yes.
Follow Brothers Geek.
Follow the Brothers
Share
Geek.
Share with your friends.
And
lots of fun update on Brothers Geek Twitter feed. Oh, yeah.
Hopefully there will be fun
Don't
things.
Look for pirated video, though. We don't support pirated video. We will not be taping anything. And
there will be no taping.
There
of
might
all
be
age.
Some video of Andrew, but
yeah,
you probably
of course.
Don't want to see
you
that.
Know,
you don't want to see that. I'm handsome. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I want to see some pictures of you guys with Destiny people and
oh, no,
some fun
I'm,
cosplayers.
That's my mission is to find Destiny cosplayers.
Take as many pictures as you possibly can for
oh, yeah.
all
I'll
the podcast listeners.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. They'll be up
all
on
right.
the website.
Great, guys. Thank you for listening all, and thank you for sticking through our technical problems. That's it? Yeah?
Yeah, and don't forget.
What am I not forgetting?
And we're going to reinforce this because Friday will be Star Wars Day at San
yeah,
Diego Comic-Con.
Han will be there, and he always says, shut
I
up,
I'm Han. I will be wearing the shirt. I will be wearing the shirt that reinforces the idea, in case any of you have forgotten.
The reality. It's a reality.
That Han shot first. Han shot first, boys.